Okay, now let me get this off. Where's my thing here? Okay. Okay, before I get started with the Lord's Supper today, I was going to tell you a little bit about my surgery at MD Anderson. Spent the night with my daughter because we had to be there at 6:15 in the morning. So we got there, and that was 2 hours before the surgery. And so they took us to the room in the surgical part, and that room was, I found out that they were prepping you there, and at times there were four or five people in there, not counting myself and my daughter Allie, and I don't know what they were doing. They asked a lot of questions. They asked me, what is your name? And I told them my name. When were you born? I told them when I was born. They said, what are you doing here? I started saying, I'm wondering about that. But anyway, I told them I was there to get my cataract removed. Who's your doctor? And I told them who my doctor was, Dr. Patel. And then, did you have diabetes? And just a whole rash of things. And finally, they got down and they said, would you like a chaplain? And I said, no, I don't want a chaplain. I'm a pastor, and the Lord is with me, and I'm not afraid. I don't need that. And, you know, these people were mingling around. I don't know what they were doing. But they were, when I said that, I really think they were all believers. And the next thing I know, I was traveling down this long hallway to go to the room where they're going to have the surgery. We finally got there, and I got on the table there, and they tied me up from head to toe. I mean, it was something else. They don't want you to move at all. And around my head, they had some kind of little round thing that my back of my head fit in, and they say, now lean back and put your head in there. So I did, and they said, wow, it worked the first time. I guess they have a hard time doing it. I said, well, that's a good sign. And so a little time went. They were about halfway through what they were all doing, and I was trying to get my right arm out. They said, what are you doing? I said, I'm trying to get my arm out. Why? I said, I have to scratch my nose. And she said, well, don't worry about it. Put it back in there. We'll take care of it. And the next thing I know, they had blinders out here. I saw this hand come over here like this, and there's some kind of little tissue on the end of the finger. And she said, where is it? I said, on the right side. And let's hit there. No, down a little bit. Go. Oh, there it is. You got it. And I heard, I believe, a little giggling after that. But, I mean, that's legitimate, I guess, if your nose itches. Anyhow, the next thing I know, I was in the recuperating room. What is it called? Recovery, yeah. And I could hear people talking. And this man was sitting next to me. I didn't even know he was there because I couldn't see. I had a patch all over this. He was real quiet and finally asked me a question. And I didn't even know he was there. Anyway, I got to know that guy a little bit. It was time for me to get my regular clothes on, and I wore one of our Country Bible Church t-shirts, and it has on the back, through grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, on the back. And so I put it on, and he said, oh, he said, I like your shirt. I said, well, thank you. I said, are you a believer? He said, I sure am. As I was talking to him, I found out that he was from China. And he had been working there a while, and he was asking me questions and questions. I said, yes, I'm a pastor in Brenham. Where's Brenham? And I told him that. And I said, would you like to have a card? And he said, oh, yes, I'd like to have a card. And so I gave it to him and told him a little bit about it and asked him about China. I said, how many believers are in China? He said, a lot. And so then it was time for me to press on. And they don't let you walk after you've been in surgery. So I had to get in a wheelchair. And this girl was, I would say, about 25, something like that. Just had so much energy. And she would say, I am so happy. And put me in the deal. And here we go. And she was driving fast. So anyway, I said, why are you so happy? She says, well, I just love the Lord. And I thought, what is going on here? And I talked to her, and I gave her a card also. And then I had to go and get an EKG, and they took me back in this room, and it was another female, and she was really happy. I mean, I don't know, they had a happy fog out there today or something like that day. I don't know what it was. And I started talking to her, and then she saw my shirt. And she said, oh, wow, that's great. I said, yeah, I think so. And I said, I'm a pastor. And, man, she went through the roof. And she says, what's your favorite verse? I said, well, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 are pretty way up there. And she said, can you say it? I said, of course I can say it. And I started quoting it, and she joined in with me. And so I gave her a card also, and my card was in the waiting room, and she rolled me out there, and my daughter gave her the card, and I went on from there. I forgot to tell you about the Chinese man. He was looking at the card, and I said, yeah, you can live stream any time that we're there, and I'm teaching it live stream. And he said, so I might be able to see you? I said, well, if you tune in, you will. So he might be tuned in right now. And I'm sorry I can't remember his name, but I remember it wasn't a Chinese name. It was a name like Mark or somebody like that. So I thought, boy, this is... I just thought you might like to hear some of the things that were going on at that time. So today is the Lord's Supper, and I'm going to give you some things today. Get your pen out, because I'm going to give you a couple of words that I doubt that you can get the right things here for them. In other words, I don't think you can spell it. But so we're going to start with this. This is May 4th, 2025. The ordinance of the Lord's Supper is a divinely appointed testimony from the believer's heart to God's respecting the believer's trust in Christ's efficacious grace. Efficacious death. So we have the love to God because of Christ's death on the cross. As it has nevertheless been greatly perverted, the Church of Rome, having developed the unwarranted doctrine of, and here's the verse, I'm going to say it and then I'll spell it, transubstantiation. And it's spelled transubstantiation, transubstantiation, which is the changing of the elements of the bread and wine when they are consecrated in the Eucharist into the body and blood of Christ. That's a Roman Catholic doctrine. So I hope that you recognize that this didn't come from the Bible. This came from the things that they like to worship. And then there's another one that is very similar. The Lutheran doctrine of the Eucharist includes, here we have another long word again now, consubstantiation. That's consubstantiation. Consubstantiation, which is the doctrine that the substance of the body and blood of Christ coexists in the substance of the bread and wine of the Eucharist. So they coexist. In other words, God is the Son is in the bread and in the wine, and they call that coexistence. And so the Eucharist is what we're talking about, and to the effect that Christ must be present by omnipotent power in the elements as a blessing to believers, but not to others. So that again is not coming from the Bible, and yet this is what they do when they have the Eucharist. Now the Eucharist is the same as the Lord's Supper and when we have communion as well. They are all synonyms, but we don't do it the way they do. We go by the Bible. The Lord's Supper is not about Jesus Christ coming back to earth to take the form of bread or wine or to mingle with the bread and wine. The Lord's Supper is a reminder for us to remember Him, Jesus Christ, and what He did for us on the cross. It's all about remembering Him. After He had given His disciples instructions concerning the bread and the wine, He said, "Do this in remembrance of Me." He said it two times. He said it with the cup and with the bread. We are just sojourners on this earth. Our citizenship is in heaven, because that is our eternal home. That's where we're going to live when we live this, what we have today. Philippians chapter 3 verse 20 says this. Philippians chapter 3, 20. "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." That was Philippians 3:20. I'm waiting for somebody to ask me what my citizenship is someday so I can tell them heaven. It hadn't happened yet, but I'm ready. It is very important that we are accurate when we study the Word of God. Always, the main thing is accuracy. That is one reason why He gave certain men spiritual gifts of being a pastor teacher. Most people don't have the time or the inclination to learn the Greek and Hebrew. Or to study the Bible for 8 hours at a time. Nor do they want to take on the crushing responsibilities of a pastor. So people who don't have a pastor and they say, I can read the Bible for myself, well, they're not taking advantage of what God has presented. And most of the time it's because they don't want to be under anybody's authority. But anyway, it is easy to be distracted from what is most important in this life and to forget why we are here and what our mission is. A lot of believers don't even know that they have a mission. But if that wasn't so, then as soon as we believe the gospel, God might as well jerk us off this earth, and that would be that. But we are here to shine on and show God's glory to others, to grow in grace and knowledge. We have things to do. But in our very fast-paced time that we're here on earth, it's very easy to get distracted from what's really important. Sometimes when people ask you to do something, you just simply say, no, I can't do that. Why? Because it gets into my study time, or I'm going to church, or I'm going to Bible class. Sometimes they just have to hear no, because we have much to do. God has given us a lot to do. So the purpose of the Lord's Supper is to help us remember the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ, who bore our punishment on the cross. I want all of you right now to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26. We're only going to do this one verse, but there's a lot here. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Now, when you take a close look at this, you're going to find that there are three major aspects to it. Three major aspects to it, and I'm going to point them out for you. This is 1 Corinthians 11, verse 26. Now, the first phrase is, for as often as you. For as often as you. And then it goes on to say, eat this bread and drink this cup. Shows that our Lord gives us some leeway as to how often we observe the Lord's Supper. Nowhere in the Bible does it say you have to do it every Sunday, every other Sunday, three times a year. Well, it doesn't say, so he leaves that up to us. We take the Lord's Supper every other month. Some take it every time they get together. And no one is to judge anyone else, because it's not given. It's up to us when we do that. So that's the first aspect to this verse. The next phrase, you proclaim the Lord's death. You proclaim the Lord's death. What does that mean? It means that we are to proclaim the gospel not only when we show our faith in Christ in public as we partake of the bread and the cup, and that's what you do. What you do is proclaim Christ when you partake of the bread and the cup, and we do it in a public place. So we're not afraid to stand up and explain and be a part of that. So again, to proclaim the gospel, not only when we show our faith in Christ in public as we partake of the bread and the cup, but to proclaim his death to anyone who will listen to the gospel. That is proclaiming the Lord's death. Proclaiming the Lord's death is essentially explaining how he voluntarily took the punishment of your sins and my sins and the sins of the whole world on himself on the cross. Some people might think, oh, well, I don't think I want to proclaim the Lord's death. That's not a good thing. That's an idiot. I shouldn't say idiot. It's someone that is not biblically oriented. We should shout it from the rooftops, because his death is why we have salvation. We should be proud of what he did on the cross, and we should be ready to tell it to anybody. And he says, so you proclaim the Lord's death. The third one here, This is the last phrase, and it says, until he comes. Until he comes. Which is the greatest phrase of all, because our Lord Jesus Christ is telling us that he is coming back to earth to take us back with him to heaven, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now, what can be better than that? In this one little verse, we get all of this from it. And so, and I didn't even go into the Greek. How about that? So we all should be anxiously awaiting Jesus Christ to break through the clouds and come down, and we will meet him in the air. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Now we have elements in this. Then the first one is unleavened bread. The unleavened bread represents the perfect sinless body of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was on earth somewhere around 30 or 33 years, somewhere in that area. How many times did he sin in all those years? Can you tell me? How about, zero, none. I can't make it 10 minutes without sinning sometimes. You know, the sins that come from what you're thinking. And the thing about that, I think that's probably people have the mental attitude sins because you can't see them and you can't hear them, but they're in your mind. And that's what a lot of people depend on. So Christ never had even one mental attitude sin in 33 years. Now, he's the only one that could do that because he did not have a human father. If he did, he would have an old sin nature, which he never had. Anyone can eat. Anyone can believe in Christ. And by eating of the living bread, which is a metaphor for believing in Jesus Christ. So you can eat and you can drink and you can, those are metaphors for believing in Jesus Christ. John chapter 6 verse 51 says, I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And he wasn't talking about the unleavened bread they were eating. They were talking about he was talking about himself. He is the bread of life. The other element that we have is the cup. The cup represents the sacrifice of Christ for us on the cross. His substitutional death on the cross is the only thing that satisfies the justice and righteousness of God the Father. And we know that because when Jesus Christ rose from the dead, that was the Father showing that he accepted his sacrifice on the cross. Every believer and unbeliever will live forever will live forever in one of two places. The first one is the one, it's the no smoking room. We're talking about heaven, and that's 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 through 18 gives the best information on that in the Bible. So there's only two places that people go, heaven, 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18, or the lake of fire, which is Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 through 15. Those are the only two options. The cross is the only thing that stands between us and the lake of fire. It doesn't matter how nice you are and how many good deeds you've done or anything else. If you've rejected the cross, Jesus Christ's atonement for us, then you'll wind up in the lake of fire forever. So the cross is the only thing that stands between us and the lake of fire. Furthermore, he conquered sin and death on the cross. So they no longer have power over us. If you're a believer, then you are not a slave to the old sin nature anymore. Christ took care of that on the cross. So when we think, when we eat the bread and drink of the cup, we are publicly demonstrating our trust in Him in regard to where we will spend eternity. That's where we stand. You don't have to be a believer of Country Bible Church in order to partake of the Lord's Supper. Because if you're a believer, you already are a member of the universal church in Christ. This is a very important and somber time to think that we are going to partake of these elements that God the Son has commanded us to do. So we're going to take a few moments of silent prayer, and during that time you can acknowledge any unconfessed sins. Let us pray. We thank You, Heavenly Father, for the opportunity to remember Jesus Christ and His perfect, sinless body, which was given for us on the cross. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. It is our custom to retain the bread until all have been served. He was wounded for our transgressions, He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and by His stripe we are healed. On the occasion before the Lord was going to be crucified, He took the bread and He blessed it, He broke it, and said, "This is My body that is given to you. Do this in remembrance of Me."
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, now, Heavenly Father, we thank you that we now can turn our focus on the cup, the amazing, wonderful thing that Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. And we pray that you will help us to concentrate on him. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. It is our custom to keep the cup until until all have been served. We like sheep have gone astray, each one to his own way. And he, God the Father, put upon him, God the Son, the iniquity of us all. God demonstrated his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died as a substitute for us. On that same occasion, the Lord took the cup and he said, "This is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you do it in remembrance of me." We will stand and sing hymn number 258. We sing it softly on the third verse, crescendo on the last verse. Let us stand as we sing.
When I survey the wondrous cross, on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain
seated. And people that are going to administer our food, if you can leave now if you'd like. I thought about going to what we were studying last Sunday and go through it, but I thought I would just talk to you, mainly about what we were studying. And a lot of people, I would say the great numbers of people, even believers, don't know all the things that God has done for us, and He did it in eternity past. It's hard for us in our minds to go that far back. But He knew you. He knew everything about you before the world was even created. He has omniscience. He knows everything. There's nothing He doesn't know, and He knows it all the time. So one of the things that He did that we were focusing on is to bless us with something that is called escrow blessings. ESCRO, is that right? Escrow. And I went slow and deliberate because it's not everybody has even heard of the word escrow, and here I am using it in a way that is very important. So in the passage of time before, like I said, the world was created, He knew you intimately. He knew everything that you want, your personality, everything about you. And He created something that is called escrow blessings. I'll tell you about the escrow more in a moment. In the escrow blessings, so that He can give you more blessings than He already has. And so that's what the escrow blessings are about. And the escrow is when someone is the grantor, which would be God the Father, and He's the one that created these wonderful blessings, these escrow blessings. And the reason they're called escrow blessings, because what He did is He created these wonderful blessings, but then He had a condition for us to be able to receive those conditions. I mean those all those wonderful things. And so we are challenged. Every believer has equal opportunity to receive escrow blessings. None of us have a hand up on anyone else. Nobody's cheating. And the condition in order to receive those escrow blessings is to reach spiritual maturity. Now, when you're first a believer, when you're born again, most people are on the bottom row. I mean, they don't know much, but they don't have to stay that way. Unfortunately, most believers, when they are saved, they are all gung-ho. Do y'all remember gung-ho when I was in high school? They were talking about the Vietnam War, and they were using that phrase, gung-ho. It means they're all out. They're all for it. But after a while, those that have even know about it get back in an old rut, their own old usual way. But again, God has given us everything that we need in order to pursue this. And those who pursue it and continually are growing in grace and knowledge, those are the ones that are going to reach this wonderful place of having all these blessings. And when you reach spiritual maturity, it's not like you wake up one morning and say, oh, I finally got there. Now I'm a mature believer. Doesn't happen that way. But as you continue to grow, God is the one that decides if you are truly a mature believer. And for those who are mature believers, He takes these escrow blessings and He just floods you with these blessings. It's the highest type of blessings that there are. And the reason He doesn't give them to everyone is because He would he would be unjust to do so. I say that because the believers that don't take the effort and the initiative to grow in grace and knowledge, and they don't have as much of a relationship with God as they could, they don't have the capacity in that way to be able to receive these blessings. Because if God gave blessings, these super grace blessings to the people who can't handle these blessings, then it would be harmful to them because they would forget about God, they forget about church, they forget about everything else. These blessings are so phenomenal, that's all they're going to concentrate on. And it's going to harm them. And so he loves us so much, even those that don't get these blessings. He loves them enough not to give it to them, because if he did, they would just go crazy about it. And so, for the ones who do have it, they have a great amount of influence on other people, because they're not going to think the blessings are the greatest thing that's happening to them. They're going to continue to grow in grace and knowledge. They're going to continue to take in doctrine. They're going to keep on applying doctrine. And that's what it is. So we have this online, and it's on the National and Personal Crisis. That's the name of the series. And it's all on PowerPoint. If you want to start on PowerPoint number one, you can start there. I think we're in about
the 80s now. And I didn't stop. I just kept on putting them on the screen. And you can go through there and just take your time. And maybe you will have an incentive. Maybe you will think, well, this is what God wants from me. He's doing it out of love. He did it in eternity past. I think I'm going to get on board. And that would be one of the wonderful things. But the thing that you have to do is keep on taking in the word, taking in doctrine. Because when you do that and you continue to do it, then it's very possible that you'll be one of those who have escrow blessings. And now, I'm out of time. So, let's close. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that we can come at your command to partake of the Lord's Supper. It is so meaningful because of the Lord Jesus Christ thinking and telling us, do this in remembrance of me. It's sad that so many people have so much on their plate, they have so many things going on, that Jesus Christ has to take a back seat. Should never be that way. And so this is him inspiring us to remember why we're here and what we are to do here into glorifying our Lord Jesus Christ. We need to remember that, and we need to show it to people as well. So we thank you for this opportunity, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Before anybody gets away, everybody is invited.
At 8 Sleep, we're not just changing how you sleep, we're changing how you live.